Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thanks to Adams Road for that musical introduction, and I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM, and this week we have been talking about an exciting weekend taking place, and that is the Compassionate Boldness Conference that begins Friday evening. Check-in is going to be from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., and then we're going to have an auditorium opening prayer and welcome about 6:30. About 6:45, we're going to kick this off. I'm going to kick it off with a plenary session called What is Mormon Doctrine Separating What is Official from Folklore? And what we've been doing the past couple days is giving people a little bit of a taste of what's been happening at the Compassionate Boldness Conference. And so today we are going to play an excerpt from a talk that was given by Marv Cowan. Marv Cowan has been a missionary in Utah since the 1960s, and he gave a presentation in one of our past conferences called Did a Universal Apostasy and Restoration Really Happen? Because that is the crux of Mormonism. And Eric, do you have anything to say about this? Encouraging people to come out as far as inviting their friends to come to this thing. It's well worth the time that you can take. People can register online if they'd like at CompassionateBoldness.com or just come at the door.
I just think that this doesn't happen very often. And when you have a chance to hear over a dozen speakers, pastors, apologists, people who are full-time in this kind of ministry and in the churches, I think you ought to take advantage of that. It is centrally located at Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake City. I mean, why wouldn't you if you have the time available? I know if you're just now hearing about this for the first time, it is tomorrow and Saturday, and you may not be available. But if you're available, you have nothing else going on, it is definitely worth your checking it out.
We're going to be having Rob Bowman as one of our plenary speakers, as well as Sandra Tanner. Rob is going to be discussing the Mormon doctrine of exaltation, and Sandra is going to be talking about the Mormon testimony. And so definitely it is a time to come out. But as I mentioned, we're going to be listening to Marv Cowan. Marv Cowan has been a missionary here in the Salt Lake area for many, many years. A deep love for the Mormon people, deep love for the Word of God, and the title of his message is Did a Universal Apostasy and Restoration Really Happen? And as I mentioned, if you would like to get the full talk that he gave, you can do so by going to the MRM bookstore at mrm.org. Marv Cowan, Did a Universal Apostasy and Restoration Really Happen?
Jesus very plainly said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Joseph Smith and his successors have claimed that that church was prevailed against and it ceased to exist. So I can either believe what Jesus said or what Joseph and his successors said, but I can't believe both. I said, why don't you come on in and let's discuss it? But they were too busy and said they'd maybe come back another day. I'm still waiting for them. But at any rate, what is that church that I said I belong to, that true church that I said I belong to? You realize that Jesus used the word church only three times. One is in the text that I already mentioned, Matthew 16:18, where he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the other two times are in Matthew 18, verse 17, where it's talking about if somebody offends, they're to be brought before the church. And it's mentioned twice in that verse. That's the only three times that Jesus used the word church. But, of course, the disciples, the writers of the New Testament used it many more times. But what is the church? The church is introduced to us in the Bible, so it's the Bible that must define what it is. It comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which literally means an assembly or a congregation, an orderly gathering of people. And it comes from two other Greek words, ek and kaleo, to call out. So the church is really a called out people, called out of the world into a fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. And Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 give us some idea about the church, where it says, God hath put all things under his feet and given him, that is Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's what the church is. It's his body. But that definition is vastly different than the one in the book called Restoration of All Things by Joseph Fielding Smith on page 76 and 77, where he says, what is the church? And then he said, it is a divinely organized government with offices and unchangeable laws whose king is Jesus Christ. Its purpose is to bring to pass the salvation and exaltation of its citizens through their obedience to its divine laws. He goes on to say, a study of history shows that the organization of the church as it was in the days of Jesus Christ and his apostles was not found on the earth when Joseph Smith went to inquire of the Lord. That's at his first vision. Well, several things are wrong with Joseph Fielding Smith's statement. First of all, the word church had already been defined at least 1,800 years before he gave his definition, and he gave it a whole different meaning. Where in the Bible do you find that the church is a divinely organized government established to bring salvation to people through obeying its divine laws? Where is that definition in the Bible? It's not. It never was there. The church was not designed to be our Savior. Jesus came to be our Savior. That's why he is called Savior and the church is not. Well, so what does Mormonism teach about this universal apostasy of the church that Jesus said he would build? Well, I think you all know the story. In 1820, supposedly, according to the official version, he had his first vision. But that vision was not published, as it is now recorded in the official record of that account, until 1842. And between 1820 and 1842, there were 22 years in which he told different accounts of that first vision. We don't have time to go into those today, but we'll look just at the first vision, which does deal with the great apostasy. Even though it doesn't use those words, it certainly is there. The basis of their universal apostasy is in their scripture, in the A Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith history. The account basically covers verses 5 to 20. When Joseph said he was 14 years of age, and in his area there in Palmyra, New York, there was a big revival going on, and each one of the churches claiming they were right and the others were wrong, and he was confused by that, so he read the Bible in James 1:5. He found that verse that says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberty, and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. So he went to God in prayer and asked for knowledge, not wisdom. He asked, what church is right? What church should I join? He says that the Father and Son appeared above him in the light, and the Father said, here's my Son, hear him. And he asked that question, which of all the churches are right, and which should I join? He said, I was answered, I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the person who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination, that those professors were all corrupt. That's the basis of the universal apostasy. And if you think that Mormonism has changed that, you're sadly mistaken. It's still in their scripture. And the other day I took somebody down to Temple Square. They wanted to see it, and we were handed this pamphlet that has verbatim the same story. They haven't changed it. It still says the same thing. All the churches are wrong. All their creeds are an abomination. All the professors are corrupt. That's a sweeping statement. Now, I realize that there are Mormon apologists like Bob Millett and others who want to soften that. They realize how offensive that is to those in other churches. And it is offensive to say they're all wrong, they're all corrupt, and so forth. You know, this is supposed to be the Lord who is omniscient, who makes this statement about the church. That's what Joseph Smith says. But notice those words carefully. You would think that the omniscient Lord would know what these words mean. When he asked the question, which church is right and which should I join, he says, I was answered by the omniscient Lord. Not some of them, but all of them are wrong. And all their creeds are an abomination. All the professors are corrupt. Now, what does wrong mean? Just so that I wouldn't misstate it, I looked it up in the dictionary. And wrong means that it's not right, it's bad, or false. That's what wrong means. Then when he said all, not some, of their creeds are an abomination, what does abomination mean? Well, abomination means abhorrent, disgusting, shamefully wicked, according to the dictionary. And it's all of their creeds like that. Now, what's a creed? A creed is a summary statement of essential beliefs or doctrines of a church based on the Bible. And he says all of them are an abomination. And then he says that all of those who are professors, those who profess to believe it, all of them are corrupt. And what does corrupt mean? Well, it means they are evil, wicked, or dishonest. So with that kind of definition, can we say that it really didn't mean that? That it didn't mean what it said? It's like is didn't mean is a few years ago, you know? All doesn't mean all. Doesn't mean they're all corrupt and so forth. No, the problem with trying to explain it away is it flies in the face of all that Mormonism has been teaching since its inception. You can go to their scripture, for example. I think Bill McKeever referred to 1 Nephi 14:10 last night, which says, behold, there are save two churches only. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. If they are the church of the Lamb of God, then what are all the other churches? Well, they're apparently of the devil. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 30, which Smith said he got November 1st of 1831, a little over a year and a half after he started the church, he's told that the church he's starting is the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. Well, if it's the only true church on the face of the whole earth, what are all the others? False. As far as all other churches are concerned, that's a slap in the face. It is insulting to all other churches. Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th prophet, wrote in Religious Truths Defined, page 169, that this was not a partial apostasy, it was complete. That makes it universal. There was no church of God on earth with authority to act in his name. So he says there was no real church as far as the New Testament Christianity was concerned in Joseph Smith's day.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. On October 14th and 15th, an event is coming to Salt Lake City that you won't want to miss. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, the third annual Compassionate Boldness Conference will take place at Calvary Chapel in Salt Lake City. Hear plenary speaker Rob Bowman, along with Sandra Tanner and Bill McKeever, as well as more than a dozen others as we look at Mormonism from a biblical worldview. You'll have the chance to hear some of the latest Christian research on topics related to Mormonism, with one session featuring a panel of Christian pastors to hear their perspective on life in Utah. It's an event every Christian in this state ought to attend. Now to sign up, go to www.compassionateboldness.com. Again, the event will take place on Friday evening, October 14th, and all day Saturday, October 15th at Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake, right off the 15 freeway and located at 460 Century Drive. Go to CompassionateBoldness.com and make sure to reserve your spot today. You'll be glad you did.